Good start. It's a good start.
It's a great start.
Yeah, it's the first win
that
we can claim to be completely original, which excites me, which puts me in the zone of winning.
I'm by winning. I win here and I win there. Now what?
Let's just do it. Let's meet this thing head on. And you were in it to win it.
Talk about an education. And then like this, and then that's the guy, and he's our dad, and we can get all the answers and the truth. Wow, winning. Winning.
Winning.
Wow, winning.
Good morning, Sunderland fans, and welcome to the What the Fork review show, where we are talking about winning. Yes, we are winning. Jesus has risen. Hallelujah, bitches. Sunderland have won. We've won. Brilliant. Get in. Far too long since we last had a win to speak about, so let's just get straight to it. It's an away win as well, by the way, like double whammy of like joy. We haven't won away since the 26th of December, our first away win of 2024. Ross, I'm in a really good mood, mate. And it's got nothing to do with the fact that Jesus has rolled the stone back and risen. Actually, does he do that on a Sunday? I don't know. But how are you?
I'm just quite excited to speak about a win and a bit more positive in it. You know, like we've spoke about some absolute turgid performances lately. And it wasn't like we just, like what I expected were like a ming and win, where like you'd play a bit crap and maybe nick a fluky goal. I think we deserved it, and we played some good stuff. And it was a bit like how much of a difference has this 2 week break in training done for us to perform like that? Because it reminded me off the ball as well a lot like the old Sunderland, which we used to when we were good, which was nice. Back in my day when we could play football,
October.
October, that was it. But I fully, like you say, and there was some really good positive performances. So, yeah, just overall really happy about that we've actually won again.
I read a few comments, two comments yesterday asking like how we looked so organised and good, despite the fact that we haven't really been near each other this week with the internationals and stuff like that, not as near as we usually would be. And I think the only answer to that is that little bit of rest and, you know, maybe the mental freshness as well, because I think it's not just about tiredness in the legs and playing game after game and being tired with that. I think probably the break did the fans good, and it probably did the players good as well from a mental perspective. But before I introduce Dave, quick question for you, Ross, on this. I've seen a few people mention this yesterday and say it was the best performance we've put in since Tony Mowbray departed. I'm really struggling to disagree with that. I thought it was the best 90-minute performance we've probably put in since Mowbray's gone.
Yeah, I think for the overall 90 minutes, you couldn't disagree. And we've played really well in spells, like the 45 minutes against Preston and Plymouth. But for a full 90, I think it's the best we've looked.
Yeah, hard to disagree. Dave, you've been with me on a lot of these. What ended up just being stupidity and hilarity, really, to keep ourselves sane. But we do have a win in football and that to talk about today. Happy?
Absolutely, mate. Yeah, it's... down here currently, there's a bit of blue sky, there's a bit of sunshine. I'm sick of grey skies in my life, if I'm honest, and that includes Sunderland Football Club.
the best thing is, like, if people could see the visual of you just here, it's exactly like that meme. You could raise a smile, nothing to smile about in my life.
Well, to be fair, apparently my reputation precedes myself, so by all accounts, everyone on RTG thinks that what was the exact phrase?
Dave's my favourite. He always sounds like he's suffering.
And do you want to know something? That does pretty much sound like my life. So yeah, absolutely. No, absolutely brilliant. A little bit like the cloud covering a deer. Vibrant. Enjoyed it. Nice to have something to cheer about. And it definitely was Good Friday, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And I think Ross already touched on a bit as well. But I think the fact that it was a really good performance. Because I think I kind of felt we would win yesterday, if I'm honest with you, because like losing runs and runs like that, with the quality that we do have, despite all the things that kind of go against them and the lack of experience and all that kind of stuff that we've spoken about, I did feel like there's enough quality in there to like sneak a win against Cardiff away, but I thought it would have been probably a bit more like a shitty 1-0 win or something like that, and just, you know, moving on and going, oh, thank God, like we've won and yada yada. But yesterday was like a good 90-minute performance where we could have comfortably won by quite a few more goals. And I think that's doubly the reason that I feel happy, because it's not just a win, it's kind of, it's moving forward with a good performance as well, and the best performance in mine and Ross's opinion, I think yours as well, Dave, since Mobey went, I suppose. Ironically, coming the day after Talent ID decided to do his PR machine on Sky Sports. Ross, I think, you know, it is a really positive win. It does feel good in that sense. You can hear it in our voice, but how much do you think that lifts the weight off, not just like our shoulders as fans, which obviously play a huge part in the club, but also the players as well? Because I think you could see, for me, it was Job's goal against Southampton. His celebration looked like a weight lifted off his shoulders, but then obviously within 6 minutes, the weight's back on there. So how big's that going to be towards the end of the season? Because, look, I don't think we're going to get relegated at all now, or even have a danger of it. But if we can have a really positive end of the season, get the recruitment right in the summer, you know, suddenly this horrible period of time that we've had over the past few months changes a little bit, doesn't it?
Yeah, I think, like you say, you mentioned it mentally. I think it's really good because these young lads getting beat every week, it's something they've not been used to, even at youth level, I'd imagine. So it's really good to end the rot. I think that's the main thing. And also, it takes the shackles off now, so we're not looking on over our shoulders as much, like, oh God, who's winning below us, you know what I mean? Like, I know it wasn't really realistic that we'd go down, but at the same time, the longer this period went on for, there's always that one team who gets dragged into it out of nowhere. And if we'd lost yesterday, then lost again Monday, and the teams below us had won, we'd be like, shit, this could actually happen. So yeah, you're right there. I feel like now we've got a bit of freedom to express ourselves in the last few games. And to be fair to Dodds, he's playing the team that he played yesterday was probably his forward line, the youngest.
Yeah.
And the players that he played were grafting, but also allowed to just express themselves, I think, which was nice. And we've got, like they say, we've got players come back on the bench. So hopefully we can just get the feel-good factor a bit, you know what I mean? Like, not go to matches and or watch matches and just dread it. I feel that'll become excited again and show what we did at the start of the season a bit more, and then get a bit excited for next season if, and a big if, we get the recruitment right. But yeah, just I know that's a different conversation altogether, isn't it? But
yeah, but
I just enjoy it, and let's see Job up front for the rest of the season, because I think, like, he's our best number nine.
I wanted to touch on that a bit. I thought of you, Dave, first, but that's Job's 7th goal of the season. Look, I don't understand any criticism of Job. Like, maybe I'm a Job Bellingham fanboy, I don't know. Or a jobby Bellingham fanboy, if you prefer. I think he's an absolutely phenomenal talent. I think you look at his age and the fact that he turned 18 not that long ago, and you look at other players like Aushish and stuff like that, who actually performed really well again yesterday and has been good in the past few weeks. But there's players that have got like 2 or 3 years on him that don't have the same impact that Job has, can't play in as many positions as Job has, and isn't producing as well as Job does. I think he's a phenomenal talent, and I thought his interview yesterday, the whole not asked as long as I'm wearing red and white. Look, I'm easy bought. I'm so sold on the Job Bellingham hype, because he just loves us. I love him. His brother loves us. If you want a loan move, he's welcome to it. Maybe fit him in behind Job. But there is a conversation around his position, Dave. We've discussed it before, I think, after the Leeds game, and said, is he the best option as a number nine? I personally think in the current squad setup, he is, because he runs the channels, he holds the ball up, and he knows where the net is. Personally, I'd like to see a striker ahead of him and then Job play in the 10. I think he knows where the net is, and I think that will help him be a goal scorer number 10 and also one that can set stuff up. But in the interim, until the end of the season and recruitment comes in, it probably makes sense, especially with Nazi out at the minute, Dave, to go with Job up front, I think, at the moment. What would you say on that?
Yeah, 2 points. How anyone can say that I'm suffering when he's talking like that and he just don't get excited, does he? Like, Oh, nice. Yeah, it's Ruby Knight. There's just now there. He's just so boring. Tell he's a Gateshead fan, can't you? Anyway, that was that bit cleared up. Not
Ross,
just
Ross, if you listen back to the intro, I'm like, yes, Jesus is written. And Ross goes, yeah, I'm really happy, actually.
You know what? I'm the level-headed one because I don't get too low. That's what it is.
I was absolutely waiting for that. I'm not suffering. I'm just level-headed. I was waiting for that.
Look, Ross and Dave might be the polar opposite. One might be level-headed. One might be the one that's suffering. One thing I would say is you're both fucking bald-headed.
you can't disagree with that one.
Oh, Dave, unbelievable.
Tell us about lovely Job.
Back to the original. Yeah, I can't remember who said it yesterday. It was a very good point. It was someone in the WhatsApp group, and I really hope that it wasn't Brad, because that just means I've got to be nice to Brad.
Probably me.
But it was about, in fact, it wasn't. I think it was level-headed man over here. Mm. It was about Job's movement towards the back post and putting it in the back of the net. We got so many centre forwards who wouldn't make that run, and he did. You just looked at it from the camera angle, and I thought, do you want to know something? Yeah, people are writing notes and things like that. So, yeah, it was. I think he's got a bit of everything. You've got to remember, the one thing we're big advocates of and here is a level of realism, a level of equilibrium. And he's 18-year-old, you know. He's got to make mistakes in order to become the complete pro. And I think we've got to allow them to do that. You know, we're not signing Messi for however many millions of pounds and expecting the complete player. They'll grow. They'll have good moments. They'll have brilliant moments. They'll have average moments. And yeah, you can tell he's an athlete. You can tell he's a good footballer. He's definitely got a footballing brain, which I really like about him. I really appreciate that. And yeah, excited. I think next year he'll come good. To be honest, knowing the Sunderland way, just so everyone thinks that I'm suffering still, knowing the Sunderland way, he's come out, as long as I'm playing red and white, and he'll be playing for Atletico Madrid next season. So he hasn't gone back on his word.
I think, like, when it comes to Job as well, I think he's had a great season. I think he's had a really good season. And I think we've all said over the weeks, haven't we, with these defeats, that we haven't really laid the blame at the players too much. I think they've maybe won it. I think Yeld has been pretty bad. And a couple of other players have been pretty poor. But we have always said we just feel there's like an experienced head needed around them for those tough moments. I don't think, as you pointed out, Dave, that, you know, mistakes weren't like unexpected to come from them. I honestly think put a bit of experience alongside the likes of Job and you're going to have a really good team. It's really simplistic. But yeah, I thought Job was brilliant yesterday. But Ross, it was never a penalty, though, was it? Look, we batter referees every single week. And for me, if that's given against us, I am tearing my hair out, which I have, Ross, and you don't.
You hear that, right? But we've only seen the one angle. I think if you looked at it from the opposite side, I think the player actually pushes Job into the defender as well.
I thought you were talking about your hair for a minute, by the way. So we've only seen it from one angle. I'm like, no, I've seen it from a few.
But no, I think I'm going to give Joe the benefit of the doubt there. I think he got pushed from behind. Maybe my red and white tinted glasses are on there, but I do feel like we've had some stinkers that we didn't get this season. So yeah, if it wasn't, then it's about time we got one. But I thought the referee was like very, I don't know, he let them get away with quite a lot of minging tackles, I thought, like.
Yeah, I do as well.
I think he probably should have there'll been a few more bookings to, like, set the tone, and then, because I feel like, especially, they just tried to, I don't know, they tried to, like, old man us in the second half, it felt like that way.
Yeah.
But I think we still wrote well, but yeah, back the penalty, it was well won, in my opinion.
That Joe, I think it's Joe Walls, the captain, was like literally going around bullying like 16-year-olds, and it was just like, mate, grow up. Like, get a grip of yourself. You've just been done by a 16-year-old, mate, about four times over. I'll tell you what I will say about the penalty. For me, it was never a penalty. What I would say is that a lot of the time, and again, this probably comes down to age and experience again, which is a conversation we'll still continuously have, win, lose, or draw, it seems. Sometimes the players don't react well to when things go against them. I sound like Alex Neil here. Maybe just my desperation to be another bald man on the call. But when it comes to the reaction to the fact that we got the penalty, like we reacted really well. Like for once, it was the other team that reacted poorly and we took full advantage of it. And I think that is probably the big positive you can take from Sunderland's perspective. But there was one big thing for me in yesterday's game, Dave. Now, there's tons of players that I think we could call out, and I'm going to ask you after this, you know, both of you, who you think needs to be called out, because we've discussed Job. But one player that I thought was, if not, Job was the best player on the pitch for me, the second best player on the pitch for me, and one of the best players we've had this season, and someone who made a massive difference to us yesterday, Dave, is a man that you've not always been a fan of, in my opinion. But I thought Luke O'Neill being back in the squad, adding his experience, his nous, his voice, his organisation. I don't think it's any real surprise that the defence looked good. I know it's the second clean sheet in a row, but I felt the QPR game was more down to bad finishing from QPR at points. I felt yesterday we were never in danger, and I thought O'Neill just met everything and organised really well. Do we underestimate as a fan base O'Neill and his impact, you know, not only as a player, as also a, you know, the man in the squad?
It's amazing what, and yeah, you're right. I wasn't the biggest fan. I have corrected myself on numerous occasions and said, yeah, I think he's a perfectly capable player nowadays. I think the one thing that will set him apart is he's been at Sunderland Football Club for 6 years now. That is massive. He's played God knows how many games of football for the football club, and he's moved through the levels as well. So he is now an experienced footballer for us, and it's absolutely massive. His communication, we already know, is very good. So yeah, it's massive. And QPR, I think we could probably all agree that Dan Ballard maybe wasn't at his best, and some of that will probably be down to brushing him back too early. However, having somebody by the side of you who does some navigating of players, some decent communication, players with a smile on his face, get that in there. Yeah, it makes a difference, doesn't it? And fair play to him. Fair play. It'd be the one thing that you can never knock Luke O'Neill for is his motivation, his personality and his determination. And I think that shines through. And I think that's what experience does for you. I've seen all kinds. If there's one game that I don't like playing through the week, especially on Twitter, is guessing the lineup for the week. And it's just not my favourite game. And I actually like. I understand the desperation of some people, and I've seen a lot of people say Corey Evans should be playing this week, and I'm like, Jesus, give the bloke. You know, he could do with 6 months worth of behind closed doors games. But I do understand the desperation for it. I do understand where everyone's coming from. It just so happens for us that Luke O'Neill came out the woodwork yesterday and was fantastic. However, Luke, stop getting yourself stupid suspensions, mate, because we wouldn't have to miss you then, would we?
Yeah, it's true. And I'm not saying he's like the best defender I've ever seen in my life, but I think he's so vital to Sunderland and what he offers, both on and off the pitch, especially on the pitch with his organisation skills. He's 29, he's played 213 games for Sunderland, and he's played in some of the lowest points Sunderland have ever had. He's played under Parkey, he played in that League One playoff final. Like, he understands what it's like when shit hits the fan. And I think having someone like that in the squad that is so young and lacking so much experience is really massive. And I think it really shows that when he plays. And for me, he's 100% the Sunderland captain. I absolutely adore the bloke. And I know he's not everyone's cup of tea, but hey, look, that's the reasons I love him. And that's why I think he's so vitally important. Ross, before going to listeners' questions, I'm going to sort of chuck out any other players you think deserved a mention. I get the feeling there's going to be one person you're going to pull out here, and it's thoroughly deserved. And there's a reason I set this up for you. But who would you like to call out for a good performance yesterday? And there was quite a lot, to be fair.
Adil Aouchiche was brilliant.
Yeah,
best game in a red and white shirt. Best game in a red and white shirt by far. He showed glimpses of stuff like that over like a 10-minute period, but he's never really like put together a full game for us, I don't believe. I feel like he's been one of them who's always made a better impact off the bench this season, but he was brilliant. His movement, he just that's the kind of player I thought we were getting when mm-hmm. we signed him in the summer. And if he can put this run together now till the end of the season with a bit of consistency with their level and type of performance, then we'll go right. That's the player we've got next season. So that's one bonus. But him and Job linked up really well. Really, really well. With Rigg and Barr there as well. And Ekwall, you know, they were all... I think they were all had all right games. Like, I thought Ekwall looked a lot more fresh.
Yeah, he did.
I think... So it just shows that all these young lads don't need a break. They do.
it's just science. Like,
it's common sense as well, isn't it?
Science, bitch. Big Britain bad fan. But, yeah, like... But for me, Aouchiche, I think it's about 70 games he played in Ligue 1. I'm not French. I'm not doing a horrendous French accent. Just if I say Ligue 1, it's going to sound confusing. He is much more experienced than some of the players we've got abroad from abroad. And I think you can sort of tell. And I felt a bit sorry for him the way he got flung under the bus by the previous ex-manager after the Ipswich game, which his actions did lose us this game. He did give away a stupid free kick. He did miss an absolute glorious opportunity. But for me, you can see he's really got something and he's absolutely fearless getting the ball going forward. And for me, whilst he won't offer the same experience as him at the moment, I would have him in the Pritch position for the foreseeable because I think, you know, another 30 games under his belt and then he's close to like 100 like league games for a 21-year-old, which is good and probably ideally fits the best part of this model that they want to go for. But I'm really surprised he didn't go for someone else. So I'm going to give Dave a shot here. Which player do you think deserves a little bit of credit and might be called Chris?
Yeah, well, the French for Chris is Timothy Pembele.
Who?
Yeah, I love football for opinions, and I love the amount of people who have been suggesting that he's a number 10 or he's a number 8, and it's like he's just a naturally gifted footballer. There's a reason that he's the most courted teenager in the country, and he's going to have a naivety and a youthful exuberance that he can play anywhere across the front six, and give him a bit of space. Technically, this kid is a fantastic, fantastic footballer. He has a wand of a foot and he sees things. And yeah, I'm just a big, big fan. And I thought he was really good yesterday. And players like that, and I'm not comparing them to him at all, but players like that, they play without any fear. Yeah. I remember a young Wayne Rooney bursting onto the scene. Sorry, Micah Richards, you did not burst onto the scene. Wayne did with that goal. And yeah, I just really enjoy watching Reagan, and it's not really someone we've ever had at Sunderland. Jesus, going back to our dear Graham, there was maybe a young Martin Smith.
Oh, son of Pelle.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I mean? And it's been a while since Sunderland had a homegrown player who can excite you as much as he can. So yeah, really, really enjoyed him playing yesterday.
I think you know, you talk about homegrown players there. You probably have
that.
Go again.
Oh, yeah, I forgot Henderson there. I think that's a bit harsh from Hendo. Like, really good.
Also, Dan Neil Pickford. Come on, Dave. Jesus.
Not quite as naturally gifted as Chris Rigg or Martin Smith. I'm not having it.
That was the opinions of Dave Lawrence, not What the Folk Podcast. Yeah, but you know what? I think Riggy's great. And I think we've had a decent reel. You know, Smithy was my first one when I was a kid and I absolutely love him. Still love Martin Smith dearly. Hendo was obviously excellent. Then you have, you know, the likes of Pickford came through and stuff like that as well. We have had some really good players come through, but Dan Neil is exceptional again yesterday. And it's kind of, Dan Neil was an 8 out of 10 yesterday and we haven't even discussed him because we're just so used to him being absolutely different gravy. I've said it before, I think Daniel's our best player. But Riggy's, yeah, he's 16. And he just doesn't look in any way, shape, size, or form like he should be anywhere else but the first team. Really unlucky with his goal his chance yesterday. Actually thought he should have passed it at first, but when I watched it back, it's just a decent save. There's not much more he could have done with it. And I think the fact that Riggy went for goal tells you everything about him. But we've got a few sort of listeners' questions, as always. I'll probably go with you first, Ross. Let's see what decent ones we've got, because sometimes we get very funny ones. And I do like the funny ones, but let's have a look. Right. So I've got one here for Dave. Clearly quite a lot of talented players in our squad. Now we're like pretty likely to remain in the championship. What should we do in the summer, Ross?
Add experience, quality to the side, and spend the Jack Clark money wisely. Oh, and get a manager in who's competent. And will not talk shite to the press. And just not have a burner account on Twitter, and just win us some football matches, playing exciting football. I'm not asking much on that, really. You know,
I mean, the chances are the next manager we have, considering the last three managers, bearing in mind one of them was twice, have been called Mike or Mick or Michael. The chances are it's going to be someone called Mick, Michael, or whatever he decides. But yeah, I think the manager appointment's huge.
Welcome to Sunderland, Michael Ballack.
Well, unfortunately,
is that what you're saying?
Xabi Alonso has ruled himself out yesterday, saying he wants to stay for another season.
Klopp hasn't yet, though.
No, it's very true. And, you know, I think Guardiola might fancy another chance. So, on a serious note, actually, whilst I'm with you, Ross, we did this a few weeks ago and we said, like, the three names, and we went, like, me, Lee, and Dave went for, like, horrendous names. Cooper has been, like, my choice for ages. I don't think that's going to happen. I actually think he might end up getting a Wales job at some point. Who's the name that's realistically in your head at the moment that you'd like to bring in?
Yeah, there's been a lot of talk about it, but I quite like the look of this Danny Rule from Sheffield.
Yeah.
I feel like he's got the championship experience as well, so he's not like coming in totally like blind to it, and he knows what it's about. And let's be honest, we've seen our Sheffield Wednesday team this year, and to even be in with a shout of keeping them up is a bloody good effort, because they're off the field's a mess as well. So, yeah, I feel like he could be one, definitely, that we'll look at. We'll have to get somebody who knows the championship now. I think Beale just wasn't experienced enough, and he showed his naivety throughout. But also, he kind of fits the model Danny Rowland's as a young, upcoming foreign coach. But I don't know what it is. I still think that'll be Will Still, you know. I just do. I just feel like it's too coincidental that they weren't going to touch him until his compensation was so much cheaper in the summer. And then instead of getting anybody else in and talking about anyone else, but after we sacked Beale, it's like, oh, we'll see in the summer. I just feel like it's too coincidental, but maybe I'm reaching.
I think they might still look at that Jimmy Thelen that was linked. I don't know if anyone's noticed this, but if you look at the betting, he's never been a million miles away at Heckenbottom. And I'm going to get pelters for this, but I would be 100% against it. I like the football he plays. He understands the area. I think he's got a bit of steel about him. I don't think he'd be overawed. He's been promoted before from this division, and he's had some disappointing spells at certain places. But I think, you know, no one was going to stop Sheffield United from getting battered this season. I don't really think that's down to his fault. Like, Sheffield United, God, apparently, Chris Wilder hasn't done much. And I'm not saying Heckenbottom's who I would want. I'm actually not 100% sure. I think Danny Rule probably is right up the top of my list as well at the minute, if not top of it. Mainly because we can play Limp Bizkit when he comes out. Keep rolling, rolling. But I think Heckenbottom wouldn't be a terrible choice.
I'll just be the voice of the fans. Yeah, yes. You're right. You are getting pelters. What an absolute joke of a decision if we get Paul Heckenbottom. Just putting that out there.
I'd be all right with it. I'll give you this one, Dave. As it's Easter, what is your preferred Easter egg, Dave?
Oh, mate, do you want to know something? I've got a real a real thing for like a cheap, crappy £1 Easter egg with a crap chocolate.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's probably because I'm a council estate kid and that's what we used to get. So, but I tell you what, the other one, which we, I don't know why they were ever a thing. Do you ever remember a thing called a paste egg?
No.
No, there might be somebody listening who's about 812 year old like me. But literally a paste egg. I'm sure you used to, I can't remember what it was, but me grandmother used to make them and stick them in the fridge. And they were like proper hard boiled eggs. Honestly, the worst things. If she'd be alive now, I'd pick one, peel it, and hoy it off a nabber.
The show finds wonderful ways just to get through absolute stupidity sometimes. The season's absolutely wrecked us, hasn't it? Mine was a Reese's. Given the choice, I would probably go with what Rory Fallow had. I noticed it the other day and it really annoyed me. Like, Reese's is really good. I ate mine on Wednesday. but Rory Fallow posted that he had a Tony's Chocolonely, which I think is quite on brand, considering he really likes Tony in that. I don't know if I'm going too far in deep here, but I like a Tony's Chocolonely. Actually, my favourite chocolate is the sea salt one. Tony's Chocolonely sea salt.
Elite chocolate and fair trade as well, so we're doing our bit for the world.
Well, exactly. I mean, we've always been environmentalists here. Ross, what has been your favourite chocolate-shaped... Actually, you look like an Easter egg.
like the true presenter he is, he set that up to knock out the
He did. He did. There's no comeback from that, really. I don't know. To be honest, I'm going to surprise you. I'm not really a big chocolate fan. For a man of my size, it's quite surprising. I do like a white chocolate one, a white chocolate Fortins. That's like nice. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't think you can knock it. Dave, I'm going to give you... Actually, no, I'm giving this one back to Ross because I've just asked you, Dave. From Stephen Hensel. Great lad. Lovely lad. this might destroy the entire podcast, but I think it's a fair question. Do you think Cardiff were poor or were we really good?
They were very poor as well, weren't they?
Aye.
But as well, I think... So were QPR, and we still made them look like fucking Real Madrid. You know what I mean? So it was nice for us to look like the team that we think we are, rather than pot around with the rest of the shite. We weren't floating around with the rest of the shite in the toilet. We were actually trying to escape, which was nice. And I think that's a terrible analogy, but we weren't shit, and they were, which is just nice.
And there was no jobby sticking out of the West End box this week either, which is a plus point.
Exactly.
Dave, I'll give you the penumptuate. I'm a journalist. What the fuck am I talking about? You know what I mean. It's from Michael Bowers.
Oh, honestly, why? I knew that was coming. I'd say that the two goals were more important than the clean sheet. So shut up, Bowers. I love you. Love you, mate.
Question has been answered. So I'll go back to Ross. It actually has as well. I think it's probably quite a good one because, you know, I think especially when you do a reaction podcast and you lose six games in a row, then you draw a seventh. I think it's probably quite easy to feel like everything's terrible. And when you win, it's such a lift off your shoulders. You can feel like, oh, thank God, everything's amazing again. And when realistically, there's still a lot of issues that need to be ironed out. And it was a good win yesterday, but it needs to be the start of something. The minutes came out this week, which I think all the Sunderland fans sort of read through from the last meeting, and somebody asked what we thought about it. What were your thoughts on it, Ross, from what you'd read?
Regarding the Black Hat Bar stuff, it probably is what the club can say. Minuted. Because
frustrating, though, isn't it?
It is. It's frustrating, but legalities, I feel like, it probably is there. But we're led to believe we're going to see movement soon, so we shall see. And the proof will be in the pudding that way. The thing that really worried me was Christian Speakman. Really, really worried me. He came out and said who his experienced players were. And I alluded to it earlier when we're on about recruitment, and I said there was a big if. After reading that, I'm not confident that we will get what we need in the summer. Because he believes that Nazir Rushton is an experienced championship footballer. And whatever, if he's played whereabouts for so many games, fair enough. Same as Aushish, who's still a young lad and he's getting named as experienced. I'm worried. That comment worried me more than anything, really. It's more that I feel like he's so stuck in his ways that he'd rather go down with his stubborn methods than flex a bit just to be successful. It's like, it's going to be his way or no way. And that worries me for the summer personally. But let's hope it's just a bluff.
I agree. Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's frustrating that, look, I've said my point in the Black Cats Bar stuff. I think it's absolutely fucking abhorrent and I just simply cannot forgive it. But I understand that legalities will probably dictate what they can and can't say. Does it make it any less frustrating? No, because they said we're going to have this full internal investigation. Then people expect answers and legally you can't give them. You should have known that. But what I would say is the biggest worry for me was that, yeah, when you're talking about experienced players, because not only is that detrimental to potentially Sunderland, if that's what he thinks his experience is, detrimental to the lads themselves because they're at an age where they should still be learning, especially Rusin. And we've said it before, he's come from a war-torn country to a place he didn't actually speak the language and he's trying to just learn what it's like to be here. You don't need to add extra pressure of him being plus his experience and the shame goes to Aushish. They need to just have experience around them, not be the experience. But I mean, ultimately, that's something that we can only really discuss and see what happens in the future. But lads, we have won, which is a nice winning thing. As Charlie Sheen would say, winning. Thanks for joining me, mate.
Thank you very much.
Pleasure.
Roll on Monday for another 3, yeah?
Yeah, I hope so, mate. Woman,
can you say that like you're not suffering, please?
Roll on Monday, we're getting another 3. Come on, I'll wear the
get line. In there, Rocco!
Get in!
'S how you perceive it. Just retired because I'm done. I'm not very good at it, and they keep winning and building bigger houses than mine.